Okay, we're in Proverbs chapters 2, 3, and 4. Let's pray, Father. So we look into your word now. We pray the reality of your spirit upon us, that it would lead us into all truth, even as you've promised. I suppose that some people at the house now, they're multitasking, making a bed, cooking supper, dusting, whatever. I pray that, Lord, still their attention wouldn't be drawn away from your word. They'd be fixed on you and whatever other mindless activity. Well, God bless them, but Father, that your word would take preeminence in our lives. Not only that we would learn it and know it, but that we would live it out, thus honoring you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Proverbs. Last time we talked about is wisdom literature, like Proverbs, like Ecclesiastes, like Song of Solomon, Job, and also Psalms. And I was debating whether I should do this or not. There's basically like three types of Proverbs. And again, I don't know how beneficial this is, but I'll give it to you because some people might like to look at these and kind of classify them and categorize them. And there's synonymous parallelism. The second line restates the first slightly different, or maybe it builds on it a little bit. Example, Proverbs 19:29. Penalties are prepared for mockers and beatings for the backs of fools. So there's two statements, and the second one develops the first one. They're both saying the same thing. Antithetical parallelism. That's stating the second portion of the psalm in a slightly antithetical, I don't know, synonyms, antonyms, opposites. You remember back in third grade or whatever it was when you learned that. Antithetical parallelism, an example of that is Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Now, this is poetry. It doesn't rhyme. Poetry in Israel is built on ideas, parallel ideas, not meter and rhyme, like it is here in America. And the last one is synthetic parallelism, like Proverbs 22:2. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. So it's adding to the second one, synthesizing both ideas. Synonymous is just saying the same thing in a slightly different way. Antithetical is saying the truth of the opposite of something. If like loving your wife is a good thing, not hating her is also a good thing, right? First thing came in my stupid little brain there. And the other one is this synthetic, again, taking the second idea, enlarging the first idea with the second idea. And you can take most of the Proverbs and put them in one of those categories. Now that I've wasted your time, I don't know if that's a benefit. I mean, I really don't. I know that stuff, and I don't sit there and say, well, this is synthetic, but I really kind of is I don't do that. And again, if you do, that's great. What I want to do with Proverbs, I want to take this, I want to put it in my life, and I want to live it out. Now, I commended to you to buy a notebook and to see if, like yesterday was the 10th, and I read Proverbs chapter 10, and I wrote a verse out that I felt like God was speaking to me. And in the course of the day, it kind of came to fruition, actually, before I wrote it down. I'll tell you the story sometime, but there'll be plenty of stories to tell if you do that, because God will use his word to guide you, to navigate you through life's path. So today's the 11th, and I haven't done it yet today, frankly, but I will. And I got the notebook, and I left it out in the Jeep. I'll show it to you at some point. Just a simple little leather-bound, like a little diary or something. Not quite that extensive, but I don't think it was $5, I don't know, but anyway, she picked it up for me, but I'll show it to you. And what's written inside, it's not your business. And I would say that, I wouldn't hide anything from my spouse. If she wanted to read, it's like, yeah, go ahead and read it. I'm an open book to you anyway. But it's kind of, I can be real honest with how God's speaking to me if I keep it to myself. if I share it with everyone, then I'm kind of worried about, well, how will this come across and what will people think about this? And you know what I mean? It kind of clouds the issue. Okay, all that's to say, get a notebook, read the day. And if you miss a day, no big deal. You get it next month. Just every day, read a proverb, and pick out of it what God's speaking to you about that day. And you'll find some interesting things. That's all I'm going to say, because if I say too much more, I'm almost pushing you in a direction. I want God to push you in a direction, frankly. Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, there's a lot of talk about understanding the fear of God. And there's a lot of scripture about fear of the Lord. And we say reverential, trust, things of this nature. But it's going to tell us, instead of us defining it, it's going to define it for us. Like it talks about the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. Well, how do I know if I'm fearing the Lord the right way? Well, how much evil is in my life? How much evil am I allowing? And the tendency, of course, is, well, God forgives. So therefore, when I'm at that crossroads place, I can slide down this wrong avenue because I know God will forgive me. That means I don't fear the Lord like I'm supposed to fear the Lord. But like I say, this whole, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with me, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then, so there's an if-then relationship here, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, which is the end result. That's what we want. We want to have the fear of the Lord, and we want to find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, and again, wisdom is personified and female too. And all the ladies are saying, all right, all right. But simplicity is also personified as a woman as well. So I don't think it's either a plus or a minus. It's kind of a wash. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So the Lord gives wisdom. But James tells us that too. If any man lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. He's liberal. He'll slather knowledge on you. He'll slather understanding and wisdom. He's gracious that way. He doesn't give it by dribs and drabs. Well, I gave you wisdom last month. Are you back here for more wisdom? He delights in giving us wisdom. He's a indulgent dad when he can be indulgent, not spoil us. When he's giving us the things that conform us to the image of his son, he's very generous. He's very, I don't know how else to say, he's a good father. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. It'll say that again in the next chapter, a very famous verse. But think of what he's saying. He keeps the path of judgment. He preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Well, I don't know anyone who's an evil man who speaks froward things. You never watch the news. You never listen to anyone make a political speech. You don't have Facebook. You know, everyone is froward. Everyone is anti-God. The zeitgeist of this age is against Jesus Christ. Don't know if you noticed that or not, but kind of obvious to me. And his promise here is discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. I'm this close to actually naming names, but I don't want to do that. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Boy, that's so true. As a whole country, we've done that. Who rejoiceth to do evil and delighteth in the frowardness of the wicked. The anti-God, rebellious against God, and they celebrate the fact of how anti-God they are. I can give examples again. I don't know how good a thing to do that is. But hopefully people who listen to me are already kind of like way understanding about the types of things I'm talking about. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Froward means like perverse or heading in the wrong direction. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now we get a strange woman. Uh-oh, that's bad. And we have to be delivered from the strange woman. Why? She flattereth with her words. Is this a real woman? Yeah, but it could also be a metaphor for like, well, let's read it. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So this woman, her house inclines unto death, her path into the dead. Do you want to go the way she says? She'll flatter you. Oh, you're so wise. You're so, what is she? Simplicity, foolishness, turning against God, rebellion, folly, name it. Is she a real person? Well, Satan uses real people to advance his cause. So you can almost, as I'm saying this, there's people in your knowledge who you know who you actually, they play these parts. You know, you ever read a book and the protagonist, when they talk about what he looks like or something or how he behaves, it reminds you of somebody you know. And so from that time, when you're reading the book, your friend is cast as that character in the book. Well, I think we all do that to one degree or another. And I have my pictures in my head, and we talk about folly and foolishness and things of that nature. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3. See how we're just moving right along? We can do several chapters each time we visit because it's kind of given to that. Several of the verses are like a paragraph, and they all talk about the same thing. And so we can, much of it is pretty straightforward, especially if I get a newer translation, which I don't know that I'm going to do, but I always threaten that, but I never do. But if I got something that sometimes I have to make the English smoother so we understand what's being said. But that, once we do that, it's pretty straightforward. It's not a book that we have to, gee, I wonder what he means. He's telling us what he means. He's just stating it. Like chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not thy law. And what he means by this is, my son, don't forget my law. See how straightforward it is. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. If you had an intact home and your mom and your dad were both not crazy people. And I understand. I mean, my parents weren't crazy people. They were moral people. They loved their kids. I don't have like daddy dearest or mommy dearest stories to share with you about how they broke me, how they messed me up, you know, how I'll never be right thinking in my head. And I'm not cavalier to those who didn't have that upbringing. But this is going to talk in a sense of normalcy. It's going to assume that We had a mom and a dad who, because my son, forget not thy law. Well, you want to forget the law of your father if he was a reprobate, but here it's Solomon talking to Rehoboam and his other sons, and he's a wise man giving wise counsel to children who hopefully will follow in his footsteps. And hopefully when we follow in our parents' footsteps, you remember the first commandment with a promise. I'm looking in Exodus chapter 20. It's called the Ten Commandments. Verse 12, it says, the first four commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. One, right? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Two, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Three, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Four. So now the second table of the law, what we call the horizontal commandments that have to do with us and our brother or our neighbor or our peers. The first table I would call the vertical that have to do with God. I mean, they all have to do with God, but verse 12. Honor, which is the fifth commandment, by the way, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's a promise here. If you honor your father and your mother, you'll live long in the land. So longevity. So if you had a child that died, I'm so sorry about that. They were so disobedient they died young. No, no, no. That's not what it's saying. My son was trying to tell me there was no God, and if there was, and he was looking at that verse and said, well, you think Jesus was disobedient? He died at 33. Shut up. It's a principle, and the principle is obedience makes you have longevity. Your parents, my mom, she never said, listen, drive crazy, take risks, have unsafe sex with a multiplicity of partners. Make sure you drink plenty of alcohol every day. Take plenty of drugs. Mom never said that. She told me to stay away from drugs and alcohol. Stay away from loose women and all that sort of thing. And if you do what your parents say, because they never tell you to chain smoke and drive motorcycles at a high rate of speed, they tell you things that promote longevity. I think that's what's being said in the 20th chapter of Exodus, the fifth commandment, and this one here. My son, forget not thy law, but let thy heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Why peace? Because again, don't get into arguments, and they'll tell you things. If you had a sane mom and a sane dad, they will tell you things that are helpful. And they're God, especially when you're just a little tyke, they're God's surrogates in your life for his wisdom and his word. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Some people look at phylacteries here and say this is what the verse is talking about. I don't think it is. Not that that's a horrible thing, but bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of your forehead or the back of your hand. No, on your heart. Write the law of God on your heart. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. I say again, this, get this in here, live it out here. That's what God is asking. And I think if we do that, you're doing pretty good. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That is a verse that a couple of verses we're all very familiar with. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That's life stuff. That's a life verse kind of stuff. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody and that's your life's verse. It's a good life's verse. Let's cut to the chase. What does God want? Trust the Lord with your whole heart. You're going to need, there's going to be times when you need to trust in God. When's that? Only all the time. Very, very often to me, maybe even on a daily basis, in some small way, God is saying to me, do you trust me? Do you have faith in me? Can you lean on me? Sometimes it's all I can do because it's way beyond me. Don't lean on your own understanding. That's what everyone else in the world is doing. And brothers and sisters, children, we don't want to be everybody else. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So we get to a situation, I've never been on this road before. Lord, what should I do here? Will He direct my path? I think so.
That's what it's saying. I believe it to be the case. If it turns out that it's not that way, I'll let you know.
Because I wouldn't tell you to do something that I know is absolutely untrue. And God's word, I have found, in the only last 43
years or so that I walk with Him,
I found His word to be true,
to be so.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we have fearing the Lord and departing from evil in the same sentence. What is the fear of the Lord? Depart from evil. Okay? Well, God will forgive me for whatever it is I'm doing. He will. And by the way, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That's true. I know it to be true in my own life. That said, choose to sin, choose to suffer.
It's that easy. And when we come to that
crossroads place, think, this is not going to end well if I choose wrong. Yeah, God will forgive me. He'll slather grace all over the place. He's good that way. Maybe the police won't forgive me. Maybe the person I've wronged won't forgive me. You know what I mean? We go into court and tell the judge, yeah, I know I stole, but God forgave me. And he'll say, well, bully for you. I'm really glad he has. And then he bangs down the gavel. 90 days later, you're released. Or whatever it is, right? Sometimes sin isn't legal issues, but it's always, you're still going to, I just use that as an example. You're always going to suffer something. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's going to direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Is that talking about tithing? Certainly talking about giving. In the Old Testament, is absolutely would be talking about tithing. It's talking about the first fruits of all your increase. So your wealth, the substance that you get, honor God with it. Why? Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This reminds me of Malachi. He says, test me. You want to put me to the test? See if I don't pour out a blessing on you. You won't even be able to pick it all up. You won't even be able to contain it. I found that to be the case. I shovel it in, God shovels it back, and He's got a bigger shovel, and I praise God. Nothing else to say about that. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. Situation just yesterday where he brought me up short. Stupid little thing. But I was so happy that he
loves me enough to discipline me. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth.
Those words to live by right there. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. A lot of stuff here, and basically it's saying wisdom equals blessing.
simplicity, foolishness,
it goes bad. Okay?
Here's promising.
She's more important than silver or gold. That's to say wisdom, right? Understanding. She's more precious than rubies. All the things that thou canst desire, not to be compared unto her, the foremost is wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand. We already talked about longevity. And the left hand, riches and honor. Does God promise wealth? And the Old Testament very specifically does. In the New Testament, sometimes to follow the Lord is to be without. Paul would tell us that. And he says, in whatever state, he's found to be content. But in the Old Testament, it's many verses that are saying exactly this. Riches and honor. Her ways of pleasantness and all her paths of peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold. Her happy is the one that retaineth her. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding, hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Kind of reminds me of the end of Job there, when he's quizzing Job on all, hey, where were you when, you know, thus and such happened? By his knowledge, I read that. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Spiritually, you can still trip over, you'll pick your feet up and watch where you're going. You may trip over the curb. It's not what it's saying. It's talking about a walk in such a way that you're not stumbling. The Christian life is very, very often compared to walking. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. I can think of one example. I was on a board at a pregnancy center, and the director was being paid, like directors are. No problem. And then when the next board president took over, they made the person wait a week, like a week of withholding, for no good reason at all, because that's the way payroll works in the secular world. You know, in Bible times, you're supposed to pay the laborer on a daily basis. Now, I got to say about the director there, I never heard a complaint about this, but I thought it was... I have a verse, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. It's talking about paying people on a timely fashion. If you owe somebody something, pay it when it's in the power of thy hand to do it. If you funds are short or whatever, you may have to say, hey, you got to wait. When funds come in, I'll pay you at that time. But this is like pay your accounts. Don't keep people waiting. Very often, I'm saying this to our shame, people don't want to do business with Christians. If they have an accounts receivable and somebody's in arrears, very often it will be a born-again Christian. You know, somebody will say, oh, I'm so glad I found a Christian attorney, which means I want you to waive all the fees. I don't think I need to pay them. Pay your attorney, pay your mechanic, pay your doctor, pay your bills, pay people you owe. It is a testimony. And you're saying, well, I don't have the money. Well, God will give it to you. God will bless you. He doesn't want you to be always behind and always... And if we can't afford an attorney, then you don't get one. You know what I mean? It's not like you have the right to every last thing in the world. Life doesn't work that way. But you're not supposed to withhold. When you owe somebody something, pay it. That's all I'm going to say, okay? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Well, that's just it, Adam. It's not in the power of my hand to do it. Well, that's different then, right? I mean, if we absolutely, positively don't have, yeah, I can't get blood out of a rock, I get that. But don't expecting people to do things for you gratis. Sometimes people find out that I'm a pastor and they want to do something for me for free to bless me. I generally don't allow that to happen because I don't want people to think, one, that they've done something divine, like there's going to be some sort of reward with it. Like I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, I helped that pastor out that time. Now, that said, I know your friends help you out and give you a hand. That's fine. We get by with a little help from our friends, which isn't Bible, it's the Beatles, by the way. But it is true. The spirit of that is true. You know, we live in community and we are helped by community. Okay, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. So verse 28 is an extension of verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give it when thou hast it by thee. Because I get an extra day of interest from the bank if I pay you tomorrow. No. Give it to the person you owe it to. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Some people, if there's no conflict, they create it. They just live to have conflict in their lives. And I'm thinking, conflict will come and find you. You don't have to create it. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Whose secret? The Lord's secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Amen. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise man shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Okay, chapter 4. We'll get through this and we'll call it a day. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Who was his father? Well, that was David, the man after God's own heart. Was David a wise man? Yeah, he really was in a lot of ways. And I think it was a blessing to grow up in his house. Not perfect. And then, of course, after his famous sin with Bathsheba, there was a lot of infighting and intrigue and all that. Again, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Was he forgiven? Well, of course he was forgiven. That doesn't mean Amnon didn't rape Tamar. It doesn't mean that Absalom didn't kill Amnon. It didn't mean that Absalom didn't try to overthrow him, and there was a rebellion. And then there was intrigue and who's going to take the crown. And there was all kinds of just never-ending stuff that we don't read about before his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom, the principal thing. I think so, by the way, too. Why? Well, one, the Bible says so. But two, I think, well, no, the principal thing is to get a lot of wealth and fame and to have, you know, people who listen to your every word and who follow you and do what you say, to have impact in people's lives. And that all comes from wisdom. A good work ethic, a good name, all the things that a person would want as an outgrowth of wisdom. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding.
Verse 9.
She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. There's another prayer, a promise of longevity. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Straightened there is like in a straight place, like between a rock and a hard place is kind of the idea. Your steps shall not be straightened. Hindered is probably a better word. And when you run, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Isn't that just like the way it is? There's a restlessness to evil. Here, I think it's talking about evil and personifying it like it's personifying wisdom. The unwise, they sleep not except they have done mischief and their sleep is taken away. They're like the tide of the ocean is another picture in scripture of restlessness, you know. The raven let forth from the ark going to and fro, doesn't return to the ark. It's a picture, okay? It's a picture. Hey, Job chapter 1. Hey, Satan, where you been? Well, I've been on the earth. I've been going to and fro. Well, why don't you just rest? Why don't you just relax? Evil doesn't rest. Evil doesn't relax. It doesn't have that capacity. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. We do spiritual things and we do fleshly things, and we do necessary things like pay the bills, which I think is spiritual, but let's just say eating and drinking, which doesn't make us more spiritual, doesn't make us less spiritual. We have to take care of business. We have to make our supper, and we have to eat. We have to, maintain life. So we do some things that just maintain life, like brush our teeth and things like that. And we rest because we need rest, because we need to recharge our batteries. And evil never rests. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. There's never time you can rest so much so that it's almost like sleeping with one eye open. And I'm not recommending that. I mean, sleep. It already talked about deep sleep that God promises those who follow him. But I mean, we're always spiritually aware is what I'm trying to say. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What is my sayings that you're not supposed to let them get away from you? For they are life unto all that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And talk about stewardship. Your heart is your biggest stewardship. Well, the things are more important than that, like your wife, like your kids, like your family. No, if you lose your heart, you've lost everything. Your wife won't have the same, your spouse won't have the same importance to you, your children won't have the same importance to you, the Lord won't have the same importance to you. You have to keep your heart. You have to make sure it's always aligned to God. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Do you want to go off the road to the right hand? Do you want to go off the road to the left hand? You say, well, it depends what's on either side of the road. Well, one of the options is to remain on the road, to drive right, perfectly right where you're supposed to be. Well, I select that one. Well, then you obey the Lord, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips, put far from thee. Let your eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. And don't turn to the right hand or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Again, choose to sin, choose to suffer. Okay, that's where we're going to end there. We'll be in chapter 5 next time we get together. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless these wonderful aphorisms, these maxims, these truths, these proverbs to our life. Help us to incorporate them. And this is the exercise in intellectualism, Lord. We want to know your word. We want to live your word. We want to honor you with obedience. So blessed to that end, in Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace.